Welcome to the Mindful Birding Podcast, bringing you conversations and insights on the health benefits and joy of mindful birding. Brought to you by the Mindful Birding Network and your co-hosts, Holly Merker and Holly Thomas.
Hello, everyone. This is Holly Merker, and we're so glad you're tuning in. In this episode, Holly and I chat with Dr. Geraldine Owatis-Sese, child psychologist and author of the soon-to-be-published children's book, Melusine, Birds of Many Feathers, a book that weaves the message of inclusivity and diversity using bird language and birding. Dr. Jerry shares with us why kids need nature for their well-being and provides tips on how to engage kids with nature and birds in an era of digital distractions. Studies show that immersing ourselves in nature can offer restorative qualities and help us clear our minds in productive and beneficial ways. Perhaps you can relate to this yourself after birding. But how does this work? And why do some outdoor experiences, like mindful birding, change our mental channels for the better? Holly Thomas explores one theory showing causes and effects of attention fatigue, demonstrating the power of the natural world in our Mindful Birding Nerding Science segment. We hope you enjoy today's episode. Happy mindful birding! Welcome, Dr. Jerry. We are super thrilled to have you joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me here, Holly and Holly.
Yeah, welcome.
First off, I just love your book. The book, Melusine, brings the joy of birding and messages of connectedness and inclusivity to a young audience in such a beautiful way and through birds and their languages. What inspired you in your own life journey to bring Melusine to life?
Well, first of all, my interest in birding, you know, started when I was 8 years old. And I lived in Jersey City, New Jersey. So the birds there were pigeons, and maybe some, you know, song sparrows, chipping sparrows, and that was it. And I loved drawing them. And it's not until college, when I was getting my psychology degree, that a professor, he was from Oxford, and he was an ornithologist and ethologist. He was teaching the history of psychology, and he got me into birding. And it's through Professor Colin Beer that introduced me to the National Wildlife Refuge. And here in New Jersey, it's the Edwin B. Forsyth National Wildlife Refuge. And that expanded my world, right? It's not pigeons only, but there were egrets and herons and ibis, all of that. And I just was enthralled with the beauty of the diversity of birds. So all my life, every single weekend, we go out birding. We wake up early and we go through those excursions. And in psychology, I noticed that why should I do this every weekend, right? And when I don't, I feel horrible, both mentally and physically. And so I realized that when I'm birding, it's like everything that I've learned clinically, you know, that I teach kids, whether it's breathing, whether it's executive functions, whether it's mindfulness, it's all integrated naturally in birding. And you don't even have to think about it because that's how automatic it is. And I'm a bird photographer. That's what I love to do, is to capture the beauty of these birds. But even photography, right, when you have to stand still, sit still, squat still, try to get that photo, that perfect photo, or because like warblers, right, they're so tiny and they're just there for a few seconds, you need that stillness and calm to get that photo. All of these things that's related to bird photography and just going out to the refuge or bird sanctuary or nature or park, all these things are the things that I teach kids for their mental health. And so what I wanted to do in my second half of my life, because I felt like all I did was work, right, was to do something and create something that was very, very enjoyable, and to teach that to kids, because I think we need children to unplug and get out in nature. And there is research that says that kids who are exposed to nature, even these green spaces in the city, have lesser mental health issues through adolescence and adulthood. So, you know, that's very important. I really wanted to share my love for birding with children, not only because of its mental health, but also because birds, we need birds in our life. And there's a mutual relationship, a symbiosis. You know, when we hear birds, when we see birds, we know that our planet is healthy and we need it for our survival. And they need us for, you know, their survival. So those are the inspirations. And I did my dissertation on what makes kids resilient. And I did a Sesame workshop. I was a principal investigator in what helps with the resilience of children. And one of the things that came up, like with my own study, was bilingualism. And kids who learn a different language had greater intelligence and a cognitive skills, executive functions than if they were just monolingual. I was thinking, how can I tie in my research with birds? And birds that I know, like the mockingbird especially, right, could learn hundreds of different songs. So that's the bird I feature. So I wanted people and kids to connect with the diversity, not only of different colors, shapes, and sizes of birds, but kind of interconnect and associate that appreciation to people and how we connect with each other through language. In the book, you'll see people speaking different languages, just like the bird songs that are featured in the book. I needed that bilingualism. I needed kids to expand their language skills, because the more you expand your language skills, the better you connect with the world around you. And that includes birds. So thank goodness for the Merlin bird identification app, because that really opened up my world, right? I'll go birding, hear the bird sounds. I know that they're there, but then I miss other things that I haven't noticed, which the app picks up. You know, I would put the app on. Now I know who's saying hello to me, going to these places, and who's talking. And the more you are able to identify these bird songs, the more you're able to connect, because that curiosity makes you learn more about them. And that's very, very important, right? We're not really interested, or we don't care about things that we don't know about. And this is the way to really know about, you know, each of these birds, their habitats, their language skills, all of those things, which then leads up to our conservation efforts, right? So that's what I wanted kids to learn early on, because we need them. You know, I see these ghost forests every time I go to the wildlife refuge or other places, and we're losing the environments that keep us healthy, right? We talk about forest bathing and phytoncides, the tree aerosols that are anti-cancer, you know, and antibiotics and antifungal, all of those wonderful things, but we're losing the very thing that we need to survive. And so it's up to our new generation to start them early and to have them care about birds and our environment. So that's the inspiration to this book.
I just love so much of what you touched on there. Everything from your own personal experience as a child to the well-being that comes from these experiences in nature, and then the appreciation of the interconnectedness of all these different systems, from our own well-being to the health of the birds, the health of the planet, and also seeing the connection that the next generation of people will need to carry forward for their own well-being as well as the well-being of the planet. And you just weave that all together in this book by connecting biodiversity with human diversity and embracing all of that. I think it's just wonderful.
Thank you so much. And the character itself, Melusine, is very unique in itself. I needed a character that really embodies the diversity. And so you know, she's half Filipino, which that's what I am. I'm Filipino, and which is by which in itself is diverse, because it's 50% Spanish and 50% Indonesian, even in our language. And then there are also other different cultures in there. And I needed her to be biracial, bicultural, multilingual. I think in the children's literature, kids who are bicultural and biracial are often not represented. And I thought this is a way to fill in that gap, because clinically, I do see kids who are biracial and they feel like they don't have a place in the world. And they're looking for that because they don't fit this or that box. And so they're kind of stuck in the middle. And my job is to teach them about their bicultural identity and their biracial identity, and to embrace both and how unique and beautiful that is. So,
yeah, that's beautiful. And it also, it's just embracing this inclusivity, the welcoming of people from different backgrounds, different racial or cultural identities, all of that. So I think that's another beautiful layer to your book.
Thank you.
You've taken kids birding not only as a fun activity, but also for their well-being. And I'm just wondering if you can share any observations you've made of how kids respond to being surrounded by birds or when they're immersed in nature with the goal of noticing the present moment or in this mindful way.
Yes, I've taken kids out, even my clients, therapeutically and also in terms of leisurely, you know, introducing kids who haven't birded. And it's such a seamless activity for them, because once they go out and they know they're going birding, you know, they're automatically curious about it. You know, I had this one kid that labeled all the birds as pigeons. And he had to learn all the different names, but it's unbelievable. I feel like I don't even have to teach them, because they see things that I don't see, from whether it's not only birds, but a spider web that's hanging between those fences that you have. They're so attuned to noticing. I don't know whether because they're lower in the ground, but I'm short too. But they were a group that didn't know each other. But it brought them together and they started to talk. So there's that social component, which I see when I go birding as well. You know, you meet up with other birders. They don't know you. I don't know them. But you just, hey, what did you see? And you start talking and sharing your experiences. So that curiosity that children have, it's amazing. And sometimes it's hard, right? Because I try to get some of my clients to just go out and bird. But the challenge is the technology, you know, wanting to stay in their room, playing video games, being on the iPad, watching TikTok and YouTube. So, you know, you're going to need something enticing to get them out there now. So it's different. And so a way to do it that I've found successful is gamifying it. You are going out and that Pokemon Go and collecting your Pokemon monster. I'd like kids to open up their Merlin app and just see what birds are around them and just collecting, because Merlin collects all the different bird sounds and identifies it for you. And that's like a first step or realization. And they like that, you know, that stimulation. And it doesn't have to be that too. It could be, you know, bird photography. I brought kids out, take a picture of things that bring you joy or something that brings you sadness about the environment. And it's amazing what they come up with. And we talk about it and we talk about those feelings. And again, it's making kids aware of the environment, what feels good versus what doesn't, because then that inspires the kids to keep the beauty, to save our planet. And you could do it with art as well, right? Painting and just bringing a canvas together, or nature journaling, bringing the kids out. Once you have that excitement and they're there, then the curiosity of learning more and wanting to do more starts blossoming for them.
It sure does. And it really feels like while there's a lot of complications associated with the digital era that we're living in, especially for younger people, there's ways in which we can harness it, like you said, in ways to capture some of the power that nature holds by pairing these two things together. And Merlin Bird Idea is the perfect example of this because it allows people to notice. And while, you know, it is a game changer in that way, in the sense that, as you mentioned, it allows us to expand our understanding of what's around by visualizing the birds that Merlin is hearing or seeing through the sonograms. But this I think is an exciting way to bring kids and not just kids, all people into the fold. And I think it's the Cornell Lab of Ornithology has done a magnificent job of being able to use this tool as a conservation initiative in a different way. Because really, like you mentioned, when we know about something, we begin to understand it better. We want to take care of it. In our society now, a lot of us struggle with because we do see where not just kids, but also adults can be totally consumed with digital media, whether that be apps like you mentioned, TikTok or Instagram or other social media outlets, but also, let's face it, a lot of their schooling is now digital, you know, and they had to go through this era of the pandemic where they were being taught virtually. And so whether or not we like it, it's here and it's here to stay. So how can we use this in order to allow experiences in nature? And our cultural norms have pulled kids away from crucial experiences and foundations like free play in nature, which probably you did when you were a child. I know Holly and I have talked about our childhoods exploring outdoors for hours unsupervised, something that just doesn't happen anymore, right? And when we don't have those experiences or when young people aren't provided those opportunities, it detaches from ourselves, but also nature in a different way. And so, you know, I wonder, as a child psychologist and as a nature lover yourself, is there any advice that you can share on how to form healthy connections to nature and birds that maybe our listeners can share with people in their family or people they care about or kids they know?
Well, I think just making it a routine, right, for both adults and kids, right? So we know the health benefits of being out in nature. And research has shown that, yes, we have these pockets of green in our cities, but the wider that expanse of green and diverse the landscape of mountains, lakes, and meadows, that will equal more food resources, that equals diversity of birds. The research shows that it creates greater happiness for humans. Kids are about routine. So, you know, when during the weekends, if you have a backyard or a balcony or a front yard, hey, why don't we bring our breakfasts out there or have our lunch outside and in the park, let's do a picnic. And just getting that amount of sun exposure and nature exposure to kids as a routine. Some families already do that. Like the weekends, they like to go hiking or on the beach, just picnicking. Just being outdoors and unplugging, I think, is very crucial. I know it's hard for parents, but it's like pack up that dinner and go watch the sunset.
That message that you're sharing of creating these like little mini traditions, or you said make it a routine, or things that bring out joy, make it fun and playful and just something that is accessible. Like you said, just if you have a balcony or your front yard, or you could improvise a picnic in your yard or whatever, just to create these opportunities that are really all around us. Might take a little bit of creativity to sort of get, if you're not in the habit of doing those kinds of outdoorsy things, but just to notice that there are opportunities to bring nature to you or to extend yourself into the natural world with your children and to make it a sort of a regular and appreciated and fun part of their lives.
Yes. And, you know, for kids who are limited in mobility or for adults who have a physical disability, you know, it's you know, you bird in your backyard. You know, you don't have to go to these faraway places. And for those who are in the hospital or in a facility that makes it hard to get outdoors, new research on VR, virtual reality in nature, doing that 15 minutes three times a week, actually have those health benefits too. So there are different ways of birding. And sometimes it's parking lot birding, right? When you're in ShopRite or Wegmans or wherever you go, there's birds all around you. Yeah, birds are everywhere. It doesn't have to be a specific place.
Absolutely. That's one of the most magical things about birds is I really feel they're accessible to all people because they share our habitats with us, right? So no matter what your habitat, if it's urban, if it's country, if you live in the desert, there are birds around to see.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, Dr. Jerry, it's been a pleasure having you. Is there anything else that you would like to share with our listeners?
I think the biggest thing is to increase the diversity in birding, I think is very important. I think a lot of people don't know about birding, first of all, right? So it's to educate the public about birding and its health benefits and going out in the community and outreaching and holding these festivals, I guess, at the National Wildlife Refuge and getting inner city kids involved and exposed to these places, because I know a lot of families don't even know it exists, don't even know what birding is. And I think educating the public is very important, particularly for our conservation efforts, right? Not only for the mental health and physical health that's so crucial right now, but us as humans, a diverse humans, when we get together and unite that effort, you know, to save birds and to save our planet would be so much greater.
I would say our well-being is inextricably linked to the well-being of the planet, ultimately.
Yes. And we need everyone, you know, to unite, you know, in this effort for wellness for all of us across socioeconomic, across cultural and racial and language and even landmass barriers. It is a global effort.
Thank you so much. I think your work, Melusine, just perfectly embodies all these ideas that we've discussed today about just embracing diversity, the importance, the well-being that comes from being out in nature and noticing, and birds in particular. So just want to give you huge thanks and appreciation for the work that you've put into this.
Thank you so much, Holly and Holly. This was a pleasure. I really enjoyed speaking with you about Melusine.
We are delighted to have been able to have this time with you. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
Happy birding.